I just like being part. This morning we're dealing with an interesting topic. We certainly know what Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Now, I believe the Lord made us to enjoy living here. I hope that you enjoy that. You know, if that were not so, we would all be jumping in front of semis to kill ourselves. You know, and I'm grateful we don't do that. Now, sadly, I didn't get in on the suicide walk. It was raining on Friday night, and I didn't go on that this year. Sadly, however, there are still too many people taking their own. I do not believe that suicide is the unforgivable sin that condemns a person to hell. I don't believe that. I believe a person can get in such a valley in their life, they feel like that's their only way out. I do believe action have never discovered the source of hope found in Jesus Christ or the help that could be theirs in their despair as they looked toward him. For the Lord has given us many great and precious promises. That's one thing that we have going for us as believers. We have many great and precious promises concerning what is so that as we get ready to leave this world, we do not need to be overcome with fear and dread. A slave to fear. I am the Son of God. Yeah, child of God. And for me, that was just a great one to sing today. Now, once again, we're coming to the end of our different series. And the verse I've chosen for this different series was 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse goes like this. You are a chosen people. Chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You're a people belonging to God that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people, of God. Once you had not received mercy, and Peter goes on to say this. Therefore, I urge you, friends and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against the soul. Now, you probably know about those sinful desires that war against the soul. There's still the tug in our life to head that way. And over these number of weeks that we're supposed to live differently. We're supposed to love differently. We pray differently. We work differently. We suffer differently. We give differently. And this morning, I believe the Bible would tell us that as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as one who is indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, we differently. We die differently. So, now the challenge, if you were to read Genesis through Malachi, you would not find a lot of verses that talk about heaven and eternal life. There's more verses in the New Testament than there are in the Old Testament that speak about this. Old Testament have a tendency to say, when you die, you're done. You know? Take your Bible, if you would, to the book of Job. Okay? We're talking the book before Psalms. So Psalms is the biggest one in the middle of the Bible. So the one before that, Job. to Job chapter 9 first, if you would. Job chapter 9. The Pew Bible is page 798, okay? Once again, the Old Testament does not speak about heaven and eternity very much. Many verses give the impression that once a man dies, it's over. But God uses the book of Job to make us think about death and ask a lot of questions that we should be asking. Now, Job, once again, he senses he will stand in front of an almighty God someday. Now, that's enough to... you're going to stand in front of an almighty, an all-knowing God. He knows everything about Brian Cuddy. He knows everything about Dave Steinkopf. He knows us through and through, all right? And so in Job chapter 9, look at verse 2 there. He says, but how can a mortal be right? Mortal be righteous before God? Okay? That Jesus is going to give an answer to in the New Testament. So we have both. Let's look at Job chapter 9. Let's go to verse 32. Skip over a couple of verses there. And he says this about God. God is not my answer him, that I might confront each other in court. And so he says, arbitrate between us, to lay his hand upon us both, someone to remove God's rod from me, so that his terror would frighten me no more. Guess who we are talking about eventually? We're talking about Jesus Christ coming, and he's going to be our high priest. He's going to be our mediator. He's going to be the one for this. That here we have a holy, righteous, loving God, and here we have Brian Cuddy, Heavenly God. And once again, as soon as I say the word sin, you have things going on in your life, that's going on in my life that I know I've done wrong against God. Okay? I can look out, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not all in the same way. We got some different things going on. Your vice might be different than my vice. Okay? But God looks down upon God, but I cannot, because I'm holy, cannot allow you to come waltzing into my presence, dealt with. And we know that the one who deals with it is who? God loved me so much, he sent Jesus Christ into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, born without sin, walks on this earth for about 32 or 33 years, and here's the interesting verse. Tempted in all the ways that you and I are tempted, but he does not sin. Let's just chew on that for a while. In the ways that you and I are tempted, but he does not sin. And then there's the wonderful verse about us. On its way. We've turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord laid on Jesus Christ, or on him, the sins of us all. I'm my arbitrator. Let me read this section again. God is not a man like me that I might answer him. Court, if only there was someone to arbitrate between us, to lay his hand upon us both, someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would frighten me no more. And I believe Jesus Christ has done that. And I pray that you have embraced him as your Savior and Lord. Let's skip over to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, just ask chapter 14, just ask a simple question. Well, here's sort of this idea in here, 14 verse 1. Man born of woman is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble. Now, James says it this way about us planning. Woe, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, and we'll make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your, but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. A few days and full of trouble. Here's a verse that sort of gives Job the idea that when you die, you're done. Verse 10, but man dies and is laid low, he breathes his last and is no more. Is no more. You know? And then he asks the question in verse 8, will he live again? Again. And we believe, once again, when I was at South Baptist in Bay City, the McDonald's was next door, and every Sunday morning I'd go over to McDonald's and take my Bible and my message with me and go over it. And I got to meet Ed. And Ed was one of those guys who says, I believe that when I die, I'm just dead as the dog. It's done. And you try to let him know that the scriptures talk about eat. And it took a while for me to get even, out of Ed, but. But then he says, verse 14, if a man dies, we see that he will. And then he says, all the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal call and I will answer you. You will long for the creature you have made. So we're looking forward to one of these, God giving the trumpet sound, and the dead who are in Christ shall rise. Okay. Well, we got one more in Job here. Job chapter 19. I like this passage. Job goes through a lot of things, a lot of difficulties in the book of Job. But in chapter 9, 25, he says this, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. And so I believe, New Testament, to sort of lay out the foundation for what God is going to do in eternity for us through Jesus Christ. And so as we come to the New Testament, there are many promises that should help us to be different about dying here. Our scripture passage this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's start with verse 16. 2 Corinthians, after the book of Romans, is 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is found in the Pew Bible in 1798 in the Pew Bible. Okay? And Paul went through a lot of difficulties. Lots of things happened in Paul's life. He was stoned at times. He was, it happened to him. And yet he's willing to say these words, starting in chapter 4, verse 16. Not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Keep in mind that the thought of glory. Jesus wants you to know about his glory. Okay? He says, He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but now this verse right here, the next verse, I think, once again, our prayers go out to Jack. And Jack is struggling now with cancer and things like that. But notice chapter 5, verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent, this thing right here, earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in the heavens, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we're clothed, we'll not be found naked. But we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. What is mortal may be swallowed up by light. And there's something yet coming that's even better than what we have right now. Okay? May be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose. And I believe that verse for me just means God made it so these bodies wear out. It is God who made us for this very purpose. He made it so these bodies here on this earth wear out. It is God who made us for this very purpose and has given us his spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I like that. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. Okay? And one of the things that helps the believer, we are trusting. Where Christ died and was buried, and then he rose again. And that is the most important aspect of our lives. Because he rose again, we also have hope that we will rise again someday. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. It's going to be better there someday. Please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. And here's that interesting verse, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things due him for the things done while in the Now, once again, I personally believe there are two different judgments in the Bible. There's a judgment for believers, and there's a judgment for unbelievers. They're separated by a lot of years. The one is 1,000 years beyond us, at least, the white throne judgment. And I've always wondered, is this something that the believer does the moment he stands before the judgment seat of Christ, or is it something that God's waiting for the collective church to do in heaven? I sort of see it as being something individual even. That once I enter heaven, I'm standing before God. Now, the beautiful thing about this judgment, I like this about this judgment. I like the fact that when Brian Cuddy, I believe, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all Brian Cuddy's sins and future. So, when I stand before this judgment seat someday, I am not going to have Jesus Christ say, What did you do back there on September 29th of 2019? I believe these things are all paid for. Paid for. So then the question, what am I standing? I really believe that once you accept Christ as Savior, God gives you some gifts to use. Yeah. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. According to the grace given to us. If any man's gift is prophecy or preaching, let him, if it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him do it generously. Govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. There are different gifts that you and I receive. One of the gifts, the willingness to help others. I like being a servant. I think God has given me that gift. I like serving people. I got a feeling I'm going to stand before a holy God and he's going to say, hey, Brian Cuddy, I gave you some gifts. And there's going to be times when Brian Cuddy's going to hang his head at that moment. Because I'm going to realize, my Lord, I could have. There are probably times where that I could have helped others, and I could have helped others, and I. Direction. So I'm probably gonna. There's probably gonna be a sense of loss there. Take your Bibles. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you'll see there, sort of this whole thing. It's on 1774 in the Pew Bible, chapter 3, verse 10. I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Are you building your life on Jesus Christ? Important to know. Then it says, if any man gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or stubble, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. Here's a good phrase at the end of this. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now, Brian Cuddy interprets that a little different. Be careful how I say that in front of a holy God. Okay. I say it this way. If everything I've done has been for Brian Cuddy instead of for God, I'm going to be sitting in front of a bunch of ashes. And the Bible says, I'm still going to be saved. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm still going to be saved through the flames. I always say it this way. I'm not going to have any spending money in heaven. Yeah. I'm going to be there, but I'm not going to have a whole lot to show for it. Not going to spend money. And I'm grateful. So that's going to be at this church. Use the gifts that God has given to us. That we would try to, and some of you are the givers. Some of you are leaders. I pray that we might use these gifts for his glory. Well, that's why we should be different here. The Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, guys, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now as always, he's in jail while he's saying this, Christ will be exalted with my body, whether by life or by death. For me, gain. He says, if I'm to go on living in the body, it'll be fruitful labor. It'll be fruitful labor for me. But what shall I do? I'm to depart and be with Christ is better. Be with Christ is better by far. Keep that in mind, by the way. Christ is better by far. I've had a brother pass away. He was passed away of epileptic seizure. He was, 29, something like that. And my time. The Army does some interesting things. Cuddy, one of your brothers died. Yeah. And so he had to work. We worked to get my, Desert Storm was coming to the end, so they let my brother come home. And my brother Daryl had been part of the Army Reserves. Paul was a part of the National Guards over in Desert Storm. And my dad was always concerned that my brother Paul would say, hey, we went and bought, you didn't go. Go! Paul finally got to the service block on a Saturday morning. He got there about 10:45. We even had the Tri-City Airport to Gladwin Airport with a private pilot to get in there. We just worked to get in there. Us boys went into the bathroom. There was Daryl and Jerry and I was there and Paul was there. And I remember Paul turning to Daryl, I'm glad you weren't there. I don't know exactly. Someone says my brother got in on meters. So I don't know. A lot of people in the war don't talk about what they did. Okay? But I remember the thought. Bruce, who had passed away. And the thought was, if we knew, there's a glory. Jesus says it best. John chapter 17. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am so they can see my glory. I hope you're looking forward to a grand field trip someday, folks. It's going to be a fun one. And we as believers, because we have trusted in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope. Hope. And I'm grateful for that. If you've never trusted in Christ, you're still in this camp. The Bible says if you die, you're heading for an eternal hell. Those who have embraced Christ as Savior are part of His family. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a sick Christ who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies to His glorious body. That's what we have to look forward to someday. That's why we die differently. I don't know what it's going to be like. There's been some people pass away in our church before, but like that. Okay. We've had others that linger on and off. Like that. But either way, we should be able to say, Lord, I'm trusting that there's a land that's fairer than they are. Lord, we come to you this morning. Thank you. Thank you as believers. We are different. We've been set apart. Our citizenship now is in heaven. And we eagerly wait you to come someday.